Dear friends, I bring greetings to all of you from Pakistan. In my language, I always say salam. I bring salam to all of you from 256 Presbyterian churches in Pakistan. And I bring salam to all of you from 14 Presbyterian schools with over 6,000 students now. 40% are Christians and 60% are Muslims. I bring salam to all of you from my four sons, my daughter-in-laws, two granddaughters, a bundle of joy, and from my husband, with whom I was engaged when I was 3 months of age. After 33 years of my marriage with him, I can say he's a good man. And for love marriage, my mother always said, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. Dear friends, it's an honor and privilege and pleasure for me to be standing here and sharing the good news from the gospel with all of you. But before we go on, I would like to share a story. And this is a story of a gardener. During World War II, what happened was a beautiful, lush green garden was destroyed in Great Britain. For many months, for many years, this garden was neglected, rejected. People were looking at this garden. They talked about the beauty of the garden, but the garden was ignored. One day, a gardener decided to work in the garden. He pulled out all the weeds, he added the manure, and plowed the ground, added fresh seeds, watered them daily. Some community people joined in. The gardener was taking the lead, working day and night to restore the beauty of the garden. Soon, the garden was really beautiful. And there were beds of flowers, and people could see roses, jasmine, zealias, carnation, sweet peas, name any flower which was there. The birds were singing in that garden, and the passers-by were looking at the beauty of the garden and admiring the work. Mr. Smith, a very renowned person of that community, he came to the gardener and he said, you know, this garden looks beautiful. You have really worked hard. The gardener very humbly said, it is all God's work. Mr. Smith said, I have seen God working alone on this garden for a long time. The biggest difference is made because now you are working alongside with God. Dear friends, the greatest and the highest call anyone can receive is to partner with God where He's already working. And the truth of the matter is, God is at work everywhere. Before I go into the word of the Lord, I always pray in my language, which is Urdu. I strongly believe God listens to me. Let's pray. I, Yesu, tere paas aati hoon. Meri zuban ka zima le. Aaj jo beech boya jaye, 100 guna, 60 guna phal lane wala ho. Aaye ruhe paak utara. Abba, meri dua sun le. Amen. I would like to take you to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. When we read Abraham's story, and we see how God has called him to travel with him, we realize that Abraham has been called for a journey which was long and which is going to be uncomfortable and very difficult. And looking into Abraham's story, if we look deeply into it, we see 5 very important things. The first of all is Abraham showing courage. He's asking no questions, no excuses, and he's accepting it with confidence. Confidence in himself. And for this, we see that he is making preparation. He is talking to his wife, Sarah. Without her, it would not have been possible. And then we see he trusted God. He trusted God with more than anything and ultimately had been the victory. The call which God was giving to Abraham, he accepted with courage. And sometimes we think actually what courage is. To me, the best definition how we can define courage is it is grace under pressure. And courage is doing what we are really afraid to do. And there can be no courage unless and until we are afraid. And many times God is encouraging us to take a step forward. When we look at the courage stories in the Bible, the most fascinating story parallel to Abraham is of David when he faced Goliath. And it's so interesting. Goliath picked up 5 stones. He picked up 5 stones. A stone for courage, secondly a stone for confidence, and third a stone for preparation, and fourth a stone for trust, and fifth was a stone for victory. He had to act at 4 places, showing courage, confidence, preparation, and trust. And he won that battle with 1 stone, and that is the stone for victory. When we look into the story of Moses, when we look into the story of Esther, we see these people showing courage. And when we look into the story of Peter and John, when they are standing in front of Sanhedrins, speaking about Jesus, with courage and with strength. And the holy courage and determination of our Jesus Christ is unparalleled when he went to Jerusalem to die for the sins of all of us. Dear friends, the reality about courage is it starts from within the body of a person, within ourselves. And when we act with courage, God moves on behalf of us and fight our battles. Sometimes we face many challenges in our lives. But the reality is courage moves our limitations beyond our limits. And courage calls us to trust in God. Trust in God. And when I think about the courage of the American Presbyterian missionaries, the missionaries, the ancestors of Mr. Martin sitting in the pews today, it's such an honor and privilege to be standing here talking with his people about the work of his great-grandfather back in my part of the world. These missionaries, they had the courage to step out in faith. They had the courage to move, leave their comfort zones. They had the courage to hear God's calling, and they had the courage to accept God's call without any questions. And they had the courage to take risk, and they had the courage, and they were ready for a change. These missionaries would move on mules and donkeys from one village to another village, proclaiming God's word, traveling in my part of the world. Many of them died of cholera, malaria. Many of them and their children suffered, but they gave their lives for the call. They established these schools, which were the Presbyterian schools, and these missionaries would bring young children into these schools to educate them, feed them, clothe them. These schools have been doing a wonderful job transforming lives in the society in Pakistan. Unfortunately, in 1972, government of Pakistan took control of our schools. In 1998, we got them back. When we got these schools back, the church in Pakistan was rejoicing. The church in Pakistan had an opportunity once again to rebuild these schools. Once again, we had an opportunity to bring new life to the dry bones of educational system in Pakistan. Once again, we had an opportunity to build bridges between East and West. Once again, we had an opportunity to build bridges between different communities in Pakistan. And once again, we had an opportunity to build bridges through our educational systems between Christians and Muslims in Pakistan. It was a wonderful time, starting from 1998, and that was the time when I joined with the Presbyterian work, with the commitment to be there working for 2 years. Those 2 years are still not over. And I still remember, it was 2nd of February 1998, the day when I was starting to take this job. And my mother, she was a recipient of scholarship from the Presbyterian schools, my major reason for taking this job. And I was like, okay, God, I strongly believe this is your work. I am going to the Presbyterian work. Please, this is your work now. Give me a word of wisdom. So I opened the Bible. I usually don't do like that. I opened the Bible and I was reading a dancing girl asking head of John the Baptist. And I'm like, God, I'm sure this is not the message. And I said, okay, let me do it one more time. I closed the Bible, I opened it again, the same message. And I'm like, okay, God, it seems you are not listening. I'm in a hurry, maybe another time. But, dear friends, the truth of the matter is, on this road, in my journey with the Presbyterian work, dealing with many people, with many situations, with many threats, it came very clear to me, the passage which God has shown me, that it can happen with John the Baptist, and if it can happen with Jesus Christ, who am I to complain about anything? And thinking about Abraham, many times I wonder what is so special about Abraham, so special about the people who are called. But the reality is, and the truth is, it does not matter really who we are, and it does not matter what we are, and it does not matter where we are. There is not enough goodness in any one of us to merit God's call. It's God's grace. When we show courage and when we accept His call with the trust, He definitely grants us with His power and with His victory. When we look into the life of Abraham, we notice how much God's promise was still yet undone. Abraham has learned to trust in God. He has learned to trust in Him and not in himself, not on in his talents. Many times, our biggest problem is that we trust ourselves more. We trust our talents, our wisdom, our understanding, our knowledge, our technology. Abraham discovered it that if he has to answer God's call, he has to find courage in believing someone who is greater than himself. And the same is really true for you and for me as well. We need to trust in the power of God, not in our own power. And trust in believing God, not in believing ourselves. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, we can make plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And it is also written in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are the plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. This is a call to be transformed by God, and this is a call to let go our fears, let go our doubts, let go our worries, and trust completely in God. When we look into Abraham, and when he is obeying God's command, God has called him to trust in him. In return, God made fourfold covenant with Abraham, a covenant of hope and trust. God said, number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you and make you a great name. Number three, God said, I will bless those who will bless you and I will curse those who will curse you. Number four, God said, I will bless all the families of the earth through you. Abraham knew it by leaving his people, his repetition, his comfort zone. He's going to be in a difficult position. He had learned to trust God, and he had learned to let go. And even though it had been a tough journey, it always amazes me, the faith of Abraham, that he left at the age of 75. His firstborn was born after 25 years. He had faith, he had trust, and he had put his trust in God for those 25 years. Dear friends, we need to trust in God's power. And it is God's promise to Abraham that we all are a blessed people sitting here. And God is calling each and every one of us today. God is calling each and every one of us to serve. And God is calling each and every one of us to have good relationship with him. God is calling each and every one of us to let go our doubts, let go our fears, let go our passions. And God is calling us to lead. And we need to trust in the power of God. As it is written in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world. Holy Spirit will bring power and courage to each and every one of you. Dear friends, there is power in his blood, and there is power to overcome fear. There is power in this church, there is power in his gospel, and there is power in having good relationship with him, and there is power in knowing him, and there is power in having an intimate relationship with God. And then we all can lift up our hands and we can say, yes, God, we heard your command, we heard your people calling us, and we have obeyed your command with courage, and we have heard your call. May God bless this church. May God bless America. And may God bless Pakistan too. Thank you so much for having me here. Amen.